for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Tuesday evening service of July the 2nd, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bill Smith is the speaker for the evening.
Isn't it wonderful to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Praise the Lord. We're grateful for everyone that's here tonight. I've been trying to get a hold of Brother Teddy Short, and so he came in tonight. He's here with us, and it's good to see Sister Mary and Brother Gene, precious friends of ours. And I so appreciate, and I love my flag. In several places around the Loop 820 in Fort Worth, flag swings high 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I love my flag. I don't love everything that's going on in our country. But you know, it says we pledge allegiance to the flag. One nation under God. And I believe that this is where that you and I come in. It's turning the hearts of the fathers unto the children. The hearts of the children unto the fathers. Praise the Lord. So we're so grateful. And I tell you, so appreciate Brother Teddy Short. Well, you know, we've built 16 churches in the country of Mexico and a children's home. The children's home's not in operation right now. We removed the roof and covered 3 churches that we built in other areas of Mexico. And Brother Teddy Short has done so much for us in helping us wire buildings and with electricity and so many other things with food and transportation. And so we're just grateful to have Brother Teddy with us tonight. And he's just been such a hand to us. And we went in and we built 12 bunk beds, and we own now in Mexico a 3-room house. And well, we're getting uptown. We even have a refrigerator. We even have a deep freeze. You thought that wasn't really something to have in your home. It is in Mexico. And we even have a 4-burner cook stove that we can even cook food on in Mexico. We don't use a Coleman stove no longer. So we're really getting uptown. Praise the Lord. So we're so grateful for what God is doing today. And I so have appreciated this meeting. I appreciated Dr. Noel this afternoon. It blessed my soul in seeing in areas that, you know, there's sometimes that we don't know about. But there's one thing that I've cried out to God ever since I've been a Christian. Lord, I don't want to go around acting as if though I know it all. I want to have a teachable spirit so I can be taught the ways of God. Because there is no individual in this room tonight that has everything that God has to offer to the body of Christ. This is why that God has made many members in this body. I've got a slice of the pie. You've got a slice of the pie. And Brother Coffee, none of us can go around and say, well, we've got more than the other. Because God has fitly planned and placed us in the body of Christ today. And I praise the Lord for that. And I, too, have enjoyed very much of being in the room with Brother Billy and Brother Jack. Brother Billy opens up the door sometime, and just like we did in old times, we had wall-to-wall beds, and we all couldn't get up at the same time. We'd have to wait and do it in shifts. Brother Jack get in there and take a shower, and I said, Brother Jack, all I need to do is get in your overflow over here, and I can take a shower. Because, boy, the shower was just about 3 feet wide, and Brother Jack had to bathe sides at a time. So, I have thoroughly enjoyed being with them this week. We're going to have to go home in the morning and get ready for service tomorrow night because we're going into Mexico Sunday. evening after the morning service, we're going down to see about our works in Mexico. We try to stay pretty close with them to keep things moving in the Lord. And we've so enjoyed, and when we have a meeting, I'm very busy. Brother Jack is with us, and I don't get to spend much time with Brother Jack. And then when I'm down at Brother Jack's, he has a meeting, and he's very busy. We don't get to spend time with him very often, but this time has been a great time of refreshing, and we get to visit because we preachers many a time, you won't understand, but we live a lonely life. Sometimes we're in four walls and we're in there by ourselves. But I am grateful for what God is doing. Now, I believe, as I said earlier, I believe that God is raising up a people that is going to turn this world back unto God. Now, I know that Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14 said the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth as the water covereth the sea. Then God was speaking to Moses one day, and he's in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. He said to Moses, he said, Moses, as truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with God's glory. And I want you to know that's a long ways from where we're seeing it right now. Last week in our metropolitan area, a young lady stabbed two of her children and killed them dead. But before that she stabbed them, she took out a large insurance policy on them. Now, that's not much of the glory of the Lord, would you say? So then you see, we've got to bring this one nation under God. And like I said earlier, I've traveled in many, many foreign countries. But I've never been in any foreign country that I wanted to stay there permanently. I was always glad if I flew in. I was glad when my feet got back on American soil. And I was almost ready to even kiss the ground in few occasions when we got in them planes out overseas and they got the rocking and rolling, you know, from the turbulence and everything. Sometimes it didn't look like we were going to make it. Back in the Stone Age when we was on those prop jets, they're not quite like they are today. But sometimes we thought we wasn't going to make it all the way through, but God has brought us through. Tonight I want to talk to us as I feel that the Lord has shared some word with me, and I've ministered in some of these lines, but I don't guess you could ever exhaust this topic that we're going to look at tonight as we go all the way through the Bible. But I believe with all of my heart that this is what God is after in mine and your day. Now, folks, I believe that we are the last generation. I believe that God is calling for the last son to come forth. Now, we know we've seen shadows and type of this all the way through the Bible, even when Jacob and Esau, you know, and the prophecy was given. Of course, I hear a lot of people throwing stones at Jacob. But listen, folks, many times God gives us a word, and we're going to have to move with that word and flow with that word, or we can call the man of God a false prophet, and we are the one that did not move with the word of the Lord. And so we know that the Bible says that the elder shall serve the younger. And so it's the same thing today. And I believe that God is after a man today. Turn with me in your Bibles in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. And I am going to try to behave tonight, if I can. All right, in the 30th verse, it says, I sought for a man. Now, in the Hebrew, in this word man, it says, I sought for a champion. Now, I don't want to throw rocks at no translations of the Bible. But I'm having a problem with some of the versions of the Bible that does away with the blood. I'm having a problem with those that says a young lady conceived and brought forth a son, and they called him Jesus. That ain't what the Bible says. This Bible says that she was a virgin. And so this is why that I have problems with some of these things. And it says, I sought for a man. Now, I believe today that this man must be a champion. A champion is a overcomer. Every one of us has read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. And we see where that they brought righteous, subdued kingdoms and on and on. But then the Word of God says that they did not inherit or did not receive the promises. Now, brother and sister, today I believe that we're living in an hour when I've known Sister Mildred Minson singer there for many, many years. She got up here one time, was preaching here on the platform here with me some years ago. But I believe that we're walking in an hour that we're coming to a place that God will preserve us that is older in years that we can go through in this generation. And this is why today I'm looking for to be a part of this champion, this overcomer that's going to stand in this earth, that's going to turn this nation back unto God, that's going to bring the presence of the Lord in this earth, that it will be filled with God's glory. Now, I don't know if you like your president or dislike him, but I do know one thing. The Bible says we still got to pray for him. But there's one thing about it. Our president is not going to do it. Our cabinet's not going to do it. It's going to take a champion that God is raising up in the land today that's going to turn this nation back unto God, and that we're going to bring this nation back to her knees, that she's going to seek the face of God. And this is why that I'm crying out every day of my life. It's why we're running day and night and building these churches in these countries, because many of those people come to us and they say, Brother Smith, we are the only people that I know of that's declaring the kingdom. And I said, but listen, there's others. The Bible even spoke to Elijah that day. He thought he was the only one, but God spoke to Elijah and said, we've got 7,000 that's never bowed down. And brother and sister, today we've got some men and women today that's not bowing down to Baal or worship anything of these systems of this earth, but they still got Jesus Christ as the head of their lives. Now, I saw for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, brother and sister, 1,996 years, we've not seen a manifestation of the sons of God. But I believe today that the hour has come to this generation that we must see a manifestation of the sons of God. And I know that nobody here believes in flying away or being carried off into some place. But I know that the Word of God teaches you that the whole creation is groaning and waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. And I believe, Brother Tommy Cook, that's going to be the answer to our land. And to be a manifestation of the sons of God, you're going to have to be a champion. You're going to have to overcome every onslaught that's around us. Why are we dealing with deliverance? Why did we see God this evening set a young lady free? Brother and sister, because why? It's going to take a people that's being set free from the bondages of this world and the corruptions of this world. It's going to take a champion, if you please. Now, go with me into 2 Kings chapter 2. And let's look at this. 2 Kings chapter 2. Notice here in verse 19, and the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren. If you live in the metropolitan area that I live in, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, you could see how that the land is barren. You go on the back of our church, we spent several hundred dollars in painting the back of our church, the brick and everything, but you go today and there's always Somebody empowered by the enemy, and they put graffiti on the back of our church. Then we paint it over again, and they come back in months later, and they put graffiti on it again. Brother, you can see that the barren land, but what's going to change this? If today, if you and I saw a manifestation of God, it'd take us probably 10 years or more to clear up the drug fee people that their mind is blown on drugs and the alcohol and the things that's in the land. But brother and sister, many times we sit around and we allow the things to ease on by. But God's calling a people today that will put their shoulder under the load and see the responsibility that you and I have today. Now notice, the city is a pleasant situation. What is it? The locality and the position. I want to know tonight where that you're at in the locality that where you're at in God. How is it with you tonight? Are you trying to be an overcomer to become a champion in the earth today? Are you still just one day I'll start doing better? Brother and sister, time is running out on you and I today. It's time that we locate the position where we're at in God and we see where that we're at today. Notice, the situation is pleasant. But the ground, the water's not. And if you will look in there, it says, causing miscarriage. What are we talking about? I can remember in the revivals that came to our city, everybody had the ministry of Oral Roberts. Everybody had the ministry of William Branham. And they all came to our city. But the thing of it was, there's more money in our city. They came in there. And I never will forget one time standing, because Brother C.S. Fowler, who was good friends of Brother Jack and Brother Billy Schaffner, told me, said, this preacher here, said, he's a good preacher. Said, Bill, let's go over and hear him tonight. We went over there. They made an altar call. And so this man went up to get saved. The new preacher had just come into town. They just closed out the revival the night before, but now we've got a new revival and we got a new preacher. So this man come up to get saved. So the preacher was praying for him to be saved. And so then another lady that was a member of the church, she come running up there and laying hands on him. She said, oh no, God said, seal him. He leaks. He was getting saved in every revival that came. Brother and sister, today I want to know how we are in God today. Are we in a barren place? Are we in a place that God is ready to bring forth the manifestation of His Son within us and through us? Where are we today? What is our position in God? I know you said, Brother Smith, I've been raised up to sit together in heavenly places. Yes, sir. That is a fixed position. But brother and sister, today, how many of us are occupying that office? How many of us are overcoming, allowing God to clean us up, deliver us, set us free, and bring us into the realm of the Spirit? Now, notice what he said. He said, bring me a new cruise. A new cruise. All right. And put salt therein. And they brought it to him. Now, brother and sister, how many knows that God's moving in a new and a living way? I can remember reading of Zechariah and Elizabeth in the book of Luke. How that the angel Gabriel, the messenger angel, came. Brought a message. Zechariah had a problem in believing it. But Gabriel says, I'm a messenger sent from God. I stand in the presence of God. And I've got a message for you. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son. All right, the first thing that they wanted to do. Didn't they not want to call him Zechariah Jr.? Did not they want to follow the tradition realm? But I'll tell you, God made Zechariah dumb and he couldn't speak. But one day he began to take a writing tablet. He said, it's no Zechariah Jr., but his name shall be called John, because we're moving into a new order, into a new realm of God's Spirit. And brother and sister, today we've been playing around for many years, but now God's calling for you and I to move into the realm of Spirit, that we will turn the kingdoms of this world over to the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, that you and I will reign forever and forever in this earth. Hallelujah. I'm going to use Brother Billy's translation, Brother Glenn's both. Revelations 5 and 10. Now, notice what he says. A new cruise. New cruise. Brother, God's taking us in new areas in the realm of the Spirit today, if we will open up to Him. If we will allow Him. How many know that time's running out on us? We're in the evening of the end time. But Zechariah spoke and said that in the evening time there will be light. That speaks of revelation and knowledge of Him. Now, brother, we're in the evening time. And time is running out. And I'll tell you, there's no one that believes in the life of God. I don't believe any more than I do unless they got greater knowledge and understand of it than I do. Because, brother and sister, I want you to know that it's time we begin to reign in life. Hallelujah. It's time that we begin to reign. It's time that we begin to practice life. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. It said, seek immortality. Seek eternal life. Hallelujah. This is what we're calling out for today. A new cruise. Now, let's notice. Put salt therein. And he went unto the spring of the waters. Cast the salt therein and said, thus saith the Lord. Now, isn't it wonderful that we can speak? And it's not Bill Smith, but it's God speaking. God, we're only the messenger boy. We're only the rusty pipe that the truth flows through. But brother and sister, thus saith the Lord. Alright, what is he saying? I have healed these waters. There shall not be no more thence, any more death or barren land. Now, brother and sister, doesn't Revelation chapter 21 said there's not going to be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. Hallelujah to God. But that is in the city. There's no need for the lamp, or there's no need for the sun and the moon. Why? Because in the city, the night is over with. Hallelujah to God. And we've come into walking into the presence of the eternal God. Hallelujah. Now, let's notice what he says here. No more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. You know, this is something that I like, is a finished work. Now, I hear people, and I believe in that, because it's line upon line and precept upon precept that we're coming in to deliverance and into the fullness of the manifestation of God. But brother, as Brother Jack was ministering last night, passing under the rod, I don't want to come, God, with God leaving two heel marks all the way behind me. I want to come willing to God. I want to flow with God. I want God's life manifested in my very being, not leaving heel marks all the way behind. But now notice, said the water is healed unto this day. A finished work. People tell me here at the camp. People call me. Listen, y'all don't understand unless you're a pastor of how much word goes out from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Brother Glenn doesn't even know anything about this. Somebody way up north, they call me. They call down here and they got my phone number from Brother Glenn then. Some people called the other day and said, are you the Bill Smith from California? I said, yeah, I grew up in California, but I was too young to be preaching at that time. Said, we thought maybe you was the one. But up north, they had got a tape from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. They called me and said, Brother Smith, you was ministering on unstaggering faith. And I got a hold of that tape. I went upstairs to my bedroom. I had an incurable disease. And Brother Smith, I laid hold upon God when I heard that tape. And he said, I'm free today. I'm healed and set free. And brother, this is what we're talking about. This is the gospel of the kingdom. It will be preached into all of the earth. And it goes out just from where? Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And they said, we got the tape. We ordered it. We have two men in our church today that got tapes from Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And they moved to Fort Worth and they're in our church. Come on. But this is where we're at. But you see, many times, and you know what? A man told me from down here that lives... What's that other town now? You're about 20-something miles. Not Bismarck. It's another one. Arkadelphia. He said, that's a cult over there at Lake Hamilton. I said, that ain't nothing. We've been called Jim Jones cult. That's probably some of the good points that we've been called. You see, we've been called a lot of things. But Brother Doc, no, it doesn't minister to me what we've been called. I want to know what we are producing in the earth today. If we're being the champion that's revealing God's glory to this earth. Hallelujah. Yeah, they said, that's a cult over there. I said, we've been called worse than that. That's okay. That's okay. And I never will forget Brother Glenn. Sister Irma stays at my home. Brother Glenn was taking care of my... Pretty, I mean, Brother Glenn, I tell you, they were. Beautiful, beautiful China Chow puppies. We sold those puppies. You said, well, you're not supposed to bring the price of a dog. You better look at that again. I was talking about a Gentile nation. Yes, exactly. And so, we would sell those China Chow puppies. They'd come over there and they'd say, why are y'all so happy? I said, oh, we've been set free. I'm not a holy nut, nor neither am I a holy Joe. But we're walking in reality in the earth today. Not anything that I put on and take off. It is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. It's what we live, we eat, we sleep. We don't put it on, we don't take it off. We just walk it out in the earth today. And this is why that God is looking for a finished work. And the waters were healed unto this day. Turn with me in the book of Genesis chapter 32. And I want us to pick up a scripture here. Genesis chapter 32 and look at verse 22. And he arose up that night and took his two wives, two women servants, and his 11 sons and passed over the ford of Jabbok. That means flowing in the Hebrew. And he took them and sent them over the brook and set over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Have you heard these ministers talking about? I never will forget. About 2 years ago, I was going down to minister at Brother Gene's and Sister Mary's 500 Mill Street Ministries here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I said, God, you said you were raising up people to rule and to reign in the earth. And I said, God, sometimes Michael and Norma, they don't even want to pay attention to me. And yet I'm supposed to rule in the earth. Huh? Then all of a sudden, God spoke a truth to me. He said, son, I'm not asking you to rule, but I'm asking you to let me rule through you. I want to rule the earth through you. Now, brother, this is where that God is training up these champions today that God can rule through. Hallelujah. The willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, let's notice something. There's a little problem going on with Jacob and Esau. All right? And Jacob was left alone. How many of us, I love to get in the prayer meetings. And we still old enough at home that we still have prayer meetings at our church. Because I remember when Ruth located the feet of Boaz. Huh? She became the next kinsman. She married the next kinsman. And brother, when we locate the feet of Jesus, brother, we're going to find a place in God that we've never found before. All right. So now notice something here. There's a problem going on. And he's left alone. Verse 25. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Now, some people have a little problem with this. There was a Christ before that there was ever a Jesus. Now, because even Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. Huh? Oh, yes, they found fault with that, but yet Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, brother and sister, I believe that Jacob, he had him a wrestling match with the Lord himself. Because Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, said Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, what are we coming into? So he wrestled. All right, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, everybody knows what Jacob means. Trickery, treachery, swindler. That sounds like Bill Smith. Huh? Before we came to God. Now, I know some people are so holy that they don't never make a mistake. Come on. I want to tell you what happened. I had a dog. You see, they call me the dog man in the kingdom. I had two dogs that we travel across the United States, and they traveled with us. A little poodle and another one. And I never will forget, this poodle followed me around everywhere I went. When I drove, it sat beside me or sat in my lap. In the motorhome, cars, pickup, whatever it was. One day I was out there changing oil on the vehicle, getting it ready to leave. All of a sudden, my dog was, you know, was there with me too. All of a sudden, my dog started crying. And I thought a snake. I don't know why I thought a snake. Thought a snake had bit my dog. I looked over and blood was trickling out of the dog's foot. So I rolled out from under there, and my neighbor had shot it with a pellet gun. I took after him, and I chased him all the way to the back door, and he outrun me. I told him later, I said, you better thank God that I'm as saved as much as I am, or I'd mop the street up with you. Oh, no, you're so holy, you wouldn't get that way, would you? Don't lie. You are what you are in the emergency. The rest of the time, you're playing Holy Joe. Brother, where you are in the emergency, that's where you are in God. Hallelujah. So you see, I thank God that I would, and I told him, I said, you better thank God I'm saved as much as I am. Because I got over it. But here's where that we're at now. Notice something. This man has got a problem. All right? And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. How many of us looks to God as a 5-minute blessing plan? Brother, there are times that we lay down on the floor and we still groan, according to Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. Groan in the spirit that only God can interpret the groaning. Why? Because I believe that their sons and daughters are being born in the kingdom, and that's the way that we're going to be the champion. Now, here's where that we're at. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Swindler, trickery, treachery. But Israel, for as a prince has power with God and with man and has prevailed. What was he? He said, I will not turn loose until you bless me. I remember when I came to God, I had been raised in a Pentecost church in and out. They taught us backsliding and we practice it every day. Every day we practice it.
But brother, I remember 1962. I went down to that altar and I didn't taper off on anything. Brother, I didn't know no different. I didn't know anything better. I said, I'm staying here till you fix me up. And Brother Noel, I stayed there till God saved me, God filled me, and I began to prophesy. I didn't even know what prophecy was. Brother, this is what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about a nature change. I'm talking about power with God. I'm talking about power with man. How many remembers when Jesus was at the age of 12? Hey, what did he... And listen. How many that they thought that Jesus was there all the time for 3 days? There's a lot of people in this camp. They think that Jesus is with them. And they think that he's there. But brother and sister, today I'm not going by thinking. I'm going because I know by the Word of God that he lives and abides here in this house. Hallelujah. And they thought he'd been there for 3 days, but he was not. They found him talking to the doctors and the lawyers. Began to question him. Said, it must be about my father's business. What was the next thing? He grew in stature, in wisdom, had power with God. He had power with man. Brother and sister, today, this is where our domain is. Our domain is in this earth. We've got to have power with God to have power with man. I hear this old cliche saying, oh, if you can get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. There is no truth in that. If you're not heavenly minded, you are no earthly good. You can't fix any needs in this earth. It's got to be a different. Hallelujah. Just like I was sharing with Brother Billy a while ago. I don't know what all this means. There's been times of just going and preaching the kingdom that we haven't dealt with them, some of those curses that's come down through the genes, through the ancestry curses. And it's blossoming on us today. I've got a grandson. His father was an alcoholic. Today, my grandson is drinking. He's living with me, and I deal with it every day. I've even dealt with him till I even made him leave my home. Then he comes crying and back, and we just welcome him back, love him, and say, now, son, you can't do this no longer. And when I got ready to leave to come down here Monday morning, he was getting ready because he was going to have to go to court over a ticket. And he picked up my Bible, his grandmother's Bible. He was dressed up and he says, Papa, I'm going to go and preach with you. I said, son, you're going to have to help us and we're going to have to get this house in order. And Brother Tommy, we may be able to break that generation curse from that alcoholism and bring that young man into preaching God's Word. He's a brilliant man. But you see, he's caught up in alcohol. You said, Brother Smith, that's your seed. But Brother Tommy, I got a word in the Word of God. It said it will not depart out of my mouth. It will not depart out of my seed. It will not depart out of my seed. And brother, that's what I'm looking for today. But it's going to take a champion that's going to take the Word of God and allow the Word of God to become flesh in these earthen vessels of ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice, power with God, power with man. Oh, this champion. Now, I want to tell you something. I wish, and I'm sorry, and Sister Irma, where's Irma at? How's she back there? I'm repenting. She told me today that I should have brought her some fish fillets. I got a lot of bass, a lot of crappie. Probably over 100 pounds in 2 freezers of just fillets. Now, I hear that there's another man has brought fish. He's a fisherman. Going to have fish fry Thursday. You know what? God loves fishermen. Come on. God loves fishermen. He had 12 disciples and 3 of them were fishermen. And guess what? Out of the 12, the 3, Peter, James, and John walked in the inner circle with Jesus. They were real champions. All right, you said, why does God love fishermen? Because fishermen can tell the biggest story how the big one got away. Come on. And that is the truth. How do you think it got big? By getting away. I count myself as a pretty good fisherman. And of course, I got a lot of technology that locates them and finds them for me. And then I just have to go catch them. Now, why does God love fishermen? Because fishermen can tell how the big one got away. Now, Brother Peter, James, and John, they stood in the Word of the Living God in the four Gospels. What did they say? That big one got away. That death, hell, and the grave couldn't even conquer him. Come on, he got away. He stands in the book of Revelation chapter 1 and 18. He says, I've got the keys now. I've got the keys. I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys. I am a champion. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to let the devil have these keys. Adam went to sleep and the devil got them. No, sir. God's raising and holding those keys until a people comes forth in the earth that's going to take them keys. Hallelujah to God. That's going to unlock the kingdom in this earth. Hallelujah. But you see, they tell the bigger story, how the big one got away. My little 6-year-old grandson caught a 15-inch bass the other day, looked over me and he says, Poppy, that's just like pulling a tree. Yeah, just like pulling a tree. I said, son, just keep on pulling. And he finally landed him because we want to teach him how to do it. Praise the Lord. So you see, God is looking for a champion. I sought for a champion. Not just any man. And if you hung up on just man, let me tell you something, folks. We're living in an hour when the angels is being made spirits. And the ministry is being made a flame of fire. Now, I'm not talking about just pulpit ministry. I'm talking about the ministry becoming a flame of fire. Now, let's notice as we go a little further. Turn with me now into the book of Revelations chapter 5. And let's look here at the word of the Lord. Revelations chapter 5. I want to just begin at verse 1. I don't think I started till about, what, 8:45 or something another? 8:30? All right. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. I guess I'm going to have to get me a drink of that olive oil. Sealed with the 7 seals. Brother Jack, Brother Billy and I, we know a man. He really don't believe in walking anything that's holiness toward the Lord. But he shares with me how that he's already walked through the book and he's on the backside of it now. And his brother Jack always said, I can tell that he's not in the book because he's out of it. He's out of it. But brother and sister, notice what's happening. And I saw a strong angel. Now I believe that the strong angel is Michael. Michael is a war angel. Daniel 12, Daniel prophesied and said in the last day that Michael will stand up. What do you and I see in Revelations 12? And Michael stood up. I believe this strong angel is Michael, the archangel of God, proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Now this word proclaim means to publish or a divine truth in the Greek. To publish, proclaim divine truth. Now, brother and sister, in all of our years of ministry, I believe that God is opening up the seals on the book today that's been closed for many generations. I believe that God is unraveling things to you and I today that's been hid from many generations. But now we're up on the ends of the earth and God is opening up the seals to you and I. Now, proclaiming. What is he doing here? Okay. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look their own. The reason why that I love walking with these two men. We have walked together for over 30 years. I'm a little younger than they are. And I'm little, so I have to be loud. But I've walked with a many one that they told us, and I believe that I was in a meeting in Mobile, Alabama in 1962. That I literally smelt flesh burning with the Spirit. Because they were in prayer and fasting for many days, seeking God for a move of God. But now they got it all figured out and they don't have to pray and fast no more. Brother Billy said something this morning. You see, because I love to be around, because most of the time if I'm out ministering, guess who's doing it? I don't get to hear anybody else. Brother Tommy, I have to do it myself.
Please turn the tape over for the conclusion of this message on side two.
As it's being proclaimed, I want to hear confirmation in what I'm preaching. I want to know that I'm on the right track, because I don't have a system out there to tell me what I'm doing right or wrong. I want to know that men of God is saying what I'm saying. Brother Billy said, he looked at Carthage, his church. He said, is this all the impact that I'm going to have on this city? There was one of the greatest pastors that ever lived, I feel like, in Oklahoma. I'll just leave it there. And when this pastor went on, the church went into havoc in many ways. Brother and sister, I don't want anything built up on Bill Smith. If it's built up on God, if Bill Smith's removed, it'll still go on because it's up on God. Many a time I've looked at that big building of ours there in Fort Worth, and I said, God, after all of these years of preaching, after all of these years of labor and working, God, is this all that we're going to achieve in your kingdom? And God spoke to me and he said, son, there's many sons and daughters that hasn't been born in that you will help bring into the kingdom if you'll be faithful to me. Come on. Why? Because the shield has been opened up, Brother Tommy. And why? We look in Revelation. Oh, John saw a river. Clear as crystal. Now, brother and sister, we've seen many muddied streams. We've seen many dig them a canal out of the stream of God and build their little denomination, their little clique out there out of the stream of God. But brother and sister, today, God's bringing a people that will build on the stream of the eternal God. Now, and then, God is this all that we're going to achieve here in Fort Worth, Texas. Lord, after all of these years of ministry, is this all there is to it? Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I want to check and see if I'm right. Come on. And Brother Billy, when he said that this morning, I said, God, that's the same thing that I've been crying out. All right. Now let's notice. No one in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And what? And I wept much. I want to ask you something. Do you weep over men and women that fail God? I think when Samuel had cried all night unto the Lord because Saul had miserably failed God. Saul was king for 40 years and not one time did he ever inquire of the Lord. Think of that. 40 years. So then Samuel, he's laying over there and he's crying all night long. God tells him, said, Samuel, get up. Fill his horn full of oil. You head down here to Jesse's house. Come on. And you anoint a king. What happens? Runs in there and here is Eliab. Brother, he's big, he's tall, he's a hero. Samuel is ready to pour the oil on him. God said, you're looking on the outward, Samuel, but I'm looking on the heart. You know why God did not anoint Eliab? Because God knew that he was going to break down under pressure. Come on. And God was looking for a champion. And God knew he would break down under pressure. All right? So then what happened? He's got seven more sons. Well, they're all marching. Nobody gets to sit down. But what is David is the eighth. He is the last son. The eighth is the day of new beginnings. All right. David is the last son. Then we got one more. Oh, he's just a stripling. He's got a very ruddy complexion, which means in the Hebrew, it's a rose-colored complexion. Perhaps he wasn't even had enough whiskers to shave. He probably just had a little peach fuzz, as we call it in Oklahoma where I was born. You don't know what my problem is. I was born in Oklahoma and raised in California and then lived in Texas since I was a teenager. Such a puny little sight. So then what did they say? Go and fetch him. Is that what the book says? Go and fetch him. Brother and sister, I've looked at many a minister since I've been in Lake Hamilton. I see a many one that's been fetched. You said that's not good grammar. That's what the Bible says. Brother, we've been fetched. And we've been fetched for a job. Brother Coffey, God looked on that little stripling. He looked on that very heart of him. He said, here's my champion. Here's my champion. And brother, I want you to know, as the traveler marched out there for 40 days and 40 nights, he runs in there with a little few crackers. He said, look at him. He's just jealous. You know what they used to say about Brother Jack and Brother Billy and I? This is what they said to our faces. And they didn't really know how right they really were. They said, them preachers said all they do is wear fine suits and drive big cars. Said, they ain't going nowhere. And I don't have any plans to leave. That's what they said. They thought they were cutting us down, but they didn't even know the truth that they were preaching. Now, a puny little sight. But you see, I thank God for education. I need more of it myself. But brother, education is not going to do it. It's going to take the anointing of God to destroy the yokes of bondage that's upon this earth. It's going to take men and women that's going to walk in the delegated authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring down the kingdoms of this world. Hallelujah. David, a little shepherd boy. I have the treasures of David. The treasures of David said that when a sheep was killed by some animal, that David would skin that sheep. He would wear the hide on the inside and the wool on the outside to identify with the sheep, to look just like them. And I remember one day that champion hung between heaven and earth between two thieves as the champion. They didn't take his life from him. He laid it down. He laid it down. He conquered death. Hallelujah. We were sold out in the Garden of Eden, but we were purchased back in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hallelujah to God. When our Savior sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, brother, at Calvary, he purchased you and I back. That's the champion. Now, let's notice. Open up the shield. All right. And one of the elders wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. I want to tell you something, folks. I have more preachers in our church today than we've ever had. And I stand in front of you tonight. I'm not telling you that I cannot be replaced, because God will have a kingdom with me or without me. But I have no one in our church that can replace me today. Now, brother and sister, something is wrong somewhere. I'm weeping before God because there's many, all that they're interested in is just going to the pulpit and preach. And brother, if that's all we had to do, brother, that would be an easy job. But brother, when you're pastor and you're pastoring a work and you've got several people, brother, there's many problems to take care of. And it's more than just preaching. There's decisions to make. You got to be a lawyer. You got to be a banker. You got to be a taxi cab driver. You got to be it all. You got to change diapers. Sometimes you part the mustache to put the bottle in their mouth. Hallelujah. When they should be grown up, they're still having to have baby food. And they should be a champion, but they're not. And this is what's bothering me today. This is why I'm weeping over our church today. This is why that I'm saying, oh God, what is going to be the answer? Hallelujah. Because I want to see God bring forth this champion in the earth. All right? Now, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Come on. That's what I'm looking for now. Weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why did they call my Lord the Lion of the tribe of Judah? In the book of Hebrews, we see that the tribe of Judah was nothing spoke concerning priesthood. Isn't that right? All right, but now we've got a lion, Brother Coffee, of the tribe of Judah. And now why did it say a lion? Because the lion is the king of the jungle. And brother, there's nothing out of the reach of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Oh, he said, weep no more. We've got one that will open the book. We've got one. Hallelujah to God. He's the champion. I've studied the characteristics of a lion. Says that a lion can break a cow's neck with one stroke of his paw. He's the king of a jungle. I've heard said that a lion can hide upon top of a rock. Elephant come by. He can jump on that elephant's back and hang those claws into that hide as thick as it is and cut that elephant's throat with them teeth. He's the king of the jungle. Now, brother and sister, if you think you've got a problem that's out of reach today, you release the lion of the tribe of Judah on that problem. And brother, he'll make a champion out of you. Hallelujah. But you say, well, I will. Someday. Come on. That's no different than the good devil. Come on. Remember the good thief? Come on. He picks your pocket every day. The good thief says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Come on. Oh, in the sweet by and by, we're going to do it. Brother, I'm telling you, when the enemy, that thief, looked at Jesus, he was in his kingdom. He wasn't coming. He was. And this is where we're at today. Brother, he's not coming into his kingdom. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah today. He has prevailed, and he will open up the book. If we will allow him to. Hallelujah. Now, it's been so much said about walking in to life. Brother Teddy Short and I, Sister Tara, a few months back, Brother Teddy was there and witnessed it. A lady stood right up in my face, an American. And she said to me, she says, Brother Smith, I do not believe that we can walk into life. Said they're dying every day, and I do not believe that we can live without dying. And I said, Sister, they take drugs every day, but I don't. They drink alcohol every day, but I don't. Brother, I tell you, it's time that we walk in life unto life. Come on. Walk in life unto life. And this is where the God's calling of these channels. What did he say the last enemy would be destroyed? What was that one? It was death. And brother and sister, today, every day of our life, we're going to have to get that element of death out of every one of us. Hallelujah. I've heard Brother Jack tell the story. I've told the story many a time myself. I've had people to tell me, said, Brother Smith, and my wife, you know, after she'd had surgery, she couldn't carry anything or anything like that. Have to go and carry the groceries and all that kind of stuff. She'd say, when you go over to put the potatoes, said, you check them real close and see that there's not no rotten one in there. Because if there's a rotten one in there, they're all going to rot. They're going to anyway if they get old enough. All right. If you take that rotten apple out of the barrel, then the rest of them won't rot. No. Because as long as that element of death is in that apple, it's going to rot. Now, brother and sister, we're going to have to get the element of death out of our life. In Adam, all die. Brother Tommy, we see Genesis closed out with the greatest man of all in a coffin. Come on. He was in a coffin. His name was Joseph. But brother, we're going to have to put the element of death underfoot. And that's going to take the champion. It's going to take a hold of God. How many tonight wants to be this champion of the Lord? Hallelujah. I want to rule and reign until every enemy becomes my footstool. There is not a spirit that's in either one of you tonight that is a friend to you. Every last one of them are enemies to you. And they're there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But how many knows that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof? Hey, listen, this earth don't belong to the devil. This earth belongs to you and I. It belongs to us. Read the book, Old and New Testament. The Bible said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So the enemy is an intruder. If he's in your life, he's an intruder. This is the temple of God. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if there's anything else there, he's an intruder. He has to be dealt with. He has to be moved out of that house because he gets comfortable in that house. But he has to be removed. So tonight, I sought for a man. I sought for a champion that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. How many tonight is willing to say an eternal yes unto God? Total commitment to God. You heard the story about the egg and the bacon, didn't you? Come on. The hog said to the chicken, it's just going to take the fruit, but it's going to take my life for that bacon. It's just going to take total commitment. Come on. But many of us today, we're not willing to die out to what's around us to become this champion in the earth. Let's stand together. Father, tonight, we thank you for your precious word. Father, we thank you for what you're doing today in the earth. God, we've heard so much about this holy nation, this peculiar people. Lord, that's been chosen out of darkness into your marvelous light since we've been in this camp. And Lord, this your chosen generation is not under the Aaronic priesthood. This is of the Melchizedek order, Lord. The King Priest Ministry, Lord. Father, today we're looking unto you, Lord. The author and the finisher of our faith. And God, we're believing you that you're going to bring us and make us this champion, Lord, that's going to rule this nation with a rod of iron. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. I want to tell you a little story in closing the last time. I was taking my baby daughter to school a few years back. I had a big Fleetwood Cadillac at that time. I drove up into the school zone. And this little elementary school, probably was 6 or 7 years old. A little old boy stood there with little old bitty bony arms. Little old bitty skinny frail boy. That Cadillac weighed 4,500 pounds. And you know that Cadillac could have just crushed and just scrubbed that little boy all over the street. But you know what that boy was wearing? He was wearing a little harness that had the city of Fort Worth on it. Brother Tommy, I wouldn't have had to deal with that boy. I'd have to deal with that badge. That badge of authority. You can look at us and say we're outnumbered all you want to. But brother, as long as we're carrying that badge of authority from the Lord Jesus Christ, we're more than a match for what's in this earth today. We're more than enough. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Glenn. Father, tonight, we seal this word to our hearts tonight. God, that will not only be a hearer of this word, but we want to be a doer that will build our house upon the rock. We know that storms is coming. We know the war clouds and warfare is here. But God, if we build that house upon that rock, we will be that champion in the earth. Father, that anything that I've done in this, Lord, help the people to forget it. But Lord, everything that's been of you, Lord, don't let none fall to the ground. But God, you hold it in their heart until all is fulfilled in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. You are dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.